see, maybe four or five hands. 12 years ago, Elian Gonzalez was without question the most famous child in the United States. He and his parents were separated, headed for divorce, and his mother decided that she wanted a better life for herself and her son, Elian. He was 6 at the time, and the two of them, along with 12 other people, got onto a makeshift raft and tried to make their way from Cuba to Florida. Along the way, Elian's mother and, 10 others drowned. Fishermen happened to come by and picked up Elian and two other survivors, took them to Florida, and the immigration officials were able to locate relatives of Elian's mother, and so they placed Elian in their custody. But then word got back to Cuba, to Elian's father, and he demanded through government channels that his son be returned to Cuba. And Elian's mother's family refused. Their thinking was, why would anyone want a child to go back to live under the oppressive regime of a communist dictator when he could enjoy a life of freedom here in the United States? Do you remember the story now? And you remember the long court battle that went on, the lawsuits that were filed, and how the Attorney General finally decided that the child needed to be returned to his father. And I looked it up on the internet and remembered that picture that they showed of a SWAT team member in full battle gear pointing his rifle at Elian's terrified face while he was being held by one of his relatives when they came to take him away forcibly from his family. Why would anyone choose bondage over freedom? Elian's mother's family believed that he was being sentenced to a life of bondage by being sent back to Cuba. Anyone would choose freedom, right? Well, that's the question that our passage of Scripture deals with this morning. Bondage or freedom? Jesus addresses this in John chapter 8. If you have your Bible, I invite you to open it to the book of John, John's Gospel, chapter 8. Chapter 8 begins with Jesus in the temple, probably in the temple courtyard, teaching. And in verse 12, the Pharisees begin to engage Jesus in a debate. And as Jesus and the Pharisees go back and forth in their debate, as the onlooking crowd listened to their exchange, verse 30 tells us that as a result of what they had heard, many believed in him. Many came to accept Jesus as the Messiah. So in verse 31, Jesus then says to the Jews who believed in him, those who were listening, who chose to believe in him, Jesus now addresses these people who now consider themselves believers. He says, if you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. What does it mean to be a true disciple of Jesus? Well, Jesus tells them, if you continue in my word. The Greek word that is translated into continue here in this verse 31 is the same word that Jesus uses later in chapter 15 that most Bibles commonly translate as abide. In chapter 15, Jesus is talking about the vine and the branches and how the branch needs to abide in the vine in order to be fruitful. And Jesus is saying in the same way, we need to abide in him. Same word that's used here. Jesus is saying, if you continue in my word, if you abide in my word, if you stay connected continuously in my word, what's the word of Jesus? Well, we generally think of this book, right? This is the Word of God. But if you think back to chapter 1, when John began his gospel, he said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then in verse 14 of chapter 1, he says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So who's this Word? The Word is Jesus. And Jesus is saying, if you continue, if you abide in my Word, he's in a sense saying, if you continue in me, if you abide in me, if you stay connected with me, then you are truly my disciple. So in order to be a true disciple of Jesus, we need to have a personal relationship with him. We need to stay connected with him, abide with him continuously. He goes on, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. The word that's used for know here, when you know something, we generally think in terms of what we know in our heads, right? The Greek word that's used here actually refers to the kind of knowledge that a person receives from personal experience. Something that you experience rather than something that you just know intellectually. There has to be a personal experience. Know the truth. Have a personal experience with the truth. Now, how do you have a personal experience with truth? When you think of truth, what do you generally think of? Things that are true. And Seventh-day Adventists like to say we have the truth. And when we say we have the truth, what are we referring to? Generally, we're talking about our system of beliefs, our doctrines, our teachings. We have the truth. So if you know the truth, you know all the doctrines of Scripture, right? Well, when Jesus talks about the truth, the word that's used here carries with it not the idea of teachings or knowledge, but the idea of reality. You know what is reality. And in chapter 14, verse 6, in Jesus responding to Thomas, here in John's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said to Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said, I'm the truth. So when Jesus says, you will know the truth, what he's really saying is, you will have a personal experience with me. He's basically saying the same thing he said earlier. Continue in my word, know the truth, same thing. Have a personal experience, a personal relationship with Jesus, the truth. And what happens? The truth will make you free. It's not what you know that will make you free, it is your relationship with Jesus that gives you freedom. Jesus makes us free. Now, when he said this to the Jews who had chosen to believe in him, how did they respond? Verse 33. They said, we are descendants of Abraham and have never been in bondage to anyone. How is it that you say you will be made free? Was it true that the Jews had never been in bondage? Well, there were those several hundred years that they were slaves in Egypt, right? And there were those 70 years of captivity in Babylon. Did these Jews forget about that? Apparently not. I think what's going on here is they understood what Jesus was talking about. He wasn't talking about literal slavery. He was talking about spiritual bondage. And these Jews who had chosen to believe in Jesus maintain, we have never been in spiritual bondage. We are God's chosen people. We have salvation. It's those other people, those Gentiles, who are hopelessly lost. They are in bondage. They are in spiritual slavery. Abraham is our father. We are special. We've never been in spiritual bondage. And how does Jesus respond to that? Verse 34. Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. You can claim Abraham as your father. You can claim that you have never been in spiritual bondage, that salvation is yours. But if you sin, you're a slave to sin. You're not free. And Jesus says again, verse 36, so if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. The only way to experience genuine, true freedom is through Jesus Christ. The only way we can be free of sin is through a personal relationship, a personal experience with Jesus. So what's the lesson for us in this passage? Well, it would be easy for us as citizens of the United States to say, we're free. We're not in bondage, we're not in slavery. We live in a free country. But we recognize that that's not what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about spiritual bondage and spiritual slavery. Well, we can also say, like the Jews said, we are members of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. We are the remnant people. We have salvation. We do not have spiritual bondage. We're free, spiritually free. But the message from Jesus is, if you commit sin, you're a slave to sin. Have you ever said to yourself, I know I really shouldn't eat this. It's not good for me, but it tastes so good. Just this once. Or have you said, I really cannot afford to buy this, but I want it anyway, so I'll put it on my credit card. Or I really, really want to control my temper, but I can't help it. It's no use. Are you really free? Jesus says if we sin, we are slaves to sin. We are in bondage. As long as we are slaves to our passions, our habits, we're not free. Or do you wrestle with hurts, with scars, with bitterness from your past? Maybe you had abusive parents, or grew up in a dysfunctional family, or you ended up being disillusioned because of hypocritical church leaders, teachers, pastors, and you carry the scars of those experiences to this day. Are you really free? Are you slaves to the hurts of the past? The only way that we can be truly free is through Jesus. You know, it'd be easy to say, well, I just need to suck it up, grit my teeth, and get rid of those habits, or overcome those desires that I know are bad for me, or go see a therapist to deal with all of those hurts from the past. We can do all of these things, and we can try these methods, get help from others, but in the end, the only way that we can be truly free is through a personal relationship with Jesus. And that means taking time every day in the Word of God so that we can know the Word Himself, Jesus Christ. Praying continually all through the day, being aware of Jesus' presence with you, that He is there to help you, to strengthen you, to guide you in every situation, every experience, every encounter that you have, no matter how simple or mundane or how big or challenging it might be. It's through this continual connection with Jesus that we experience genuine freedom. Freedom from sin, freedom from bondage, freedom from our passions, our habits, our hurts from the past. Only Jesus can make us free. And if we experience Jesus in a true way, and he gives us this freedom, freedom to do what? Well, here in the United States, we tend to think, well, you're free to do whatever you want, right? Is that what the Christian is able to do? It may be true in the United States, but it's very different in the kingdom of God. When Jesus makes us free, we are free to do what? Well, Paul gives us the answer. If you look at Galatians, Paul's letter to the Galatians, chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. Jesus Christ gives us freedom from slavery to sin. Paul tells us what we are to do with this freedom. Galatians 5:13. For you were called to freedom, brethren, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love be servants of one another. We are to use our freedom to serve each other. What's ironic, the word that is translated as servant here can also be translated as slave. We are to use our freedom to be slaves again, slaves to one another, ministering to each other, serving each other, helping each other, doing what is best for one another. You can't do that if you're already a slave to your habits, your desires, your past. God makes us free so that we can truly serve each other. And we can't really serve each other. We can't really genuinely minister to each other as long as we're slaves. That's why Jesus Christ came, to set us free so that we can serve one another and glorify him in the process. So the question this morning is, do you want freedom? Do you truly want freedom? And are you willing to use that freedom to serve one another? The only way that can happen is through a commitment to Jesus. Amen. And making that commitment a daily experience of getting to know Jesus better through his word, through prayer, and through serving one another. If this is your desire, I would invite you to take your hymnal and open it to our hymn of dedication. And as you sing the words of this hymn, I invite you to make that the prayer of your heart and your commitment to Jesus, to follow him.